Okay, cool. Today is Saturday, unlike yesterday, which was not Saturday, but actually Friday. October the 1st, 2016, first day, new month, 9:06 a.m. I'm headed southbound. Not very fast, I'm still walking, it's just the street happens to go in a southerly direction here. I'm in the shade, for which I am grateful. It is chilly, it is 56, 58 degrees, but the sun is, as it always is, a few billion degrees, even though it's 93 million miles away. And lacking a significant buffer in terms of atmosphere, it feels somewhat warmer than normal today. So one of the things I'm thinking about this morning is clickbait titles. Terry Mixon posted a link on Facebook last night that it was weird. It was odd. It was actually an article in The Federalist. And The Federalist is, you have to understand, The Federalist is a conservative, libertarian mouthpiece that, in spite of its many flaws, still seems to have a certain amount of influence, at least in the media. Just to be clear, it's not a satire site. It's not like The Onion for conservatives. It's maybe a step up from Breitbart, but it presents itself as serious journalism. It isn't National Review, but what is? Anyway, so the article had to do with the author, Joy Pullman, doing a takedown of a PhD candidate from the University of North Dakota. I didn't think to look if it was a recent one. I think it was. I think it was like 2 days ago. On the student, whose name is Parsons, on her dissertation examining the curriculum for an unnamed Midwest college as it related to STEM education, science, technology, engineering, and mathematics, which is a very important topic in education circles right now, because STEM training is It used to be scientists were sort of like, whoa, this is cool. Let's do more of this. And more, scientists are looked on as I'm not going to go as far as pariah, but a lot of what gets studied sort of gets snickered at when it shows up in the popular press. And really, the only things that show up in the popular press are the things that get snickered at, unless it's something like Rosetta. No, Rosetta just crash-landed on a comet. That's pretty darn cool. Even if you don't understand what a significant achievement it is in terms of building a spacecraft that survived in deep space for decades, found its way to what is basically a single grain of sand on a beach, orbited it for 2 years, sending back data and information as the comet worked its orbit around, and then crash-landed to send one last blast of data. And that's pretty cool. The Mars rovers are pretty cool. This woman was studying STEM education and specifically analyzing the curriculum by looking at the syllabi using a feminist feminist dialectic. She was looking at it from a feminist lens. What are the uses of the language? How are they being held up as exemplars of the underlying constructs and techniques? And she was not, as the title of the article said, claiming that science, I don't remember what it was, science and the scientific method are sexist, and that women and minorities are too stupid to understand it. Which wasn't at all what she was saying. Good morning. That wasn't even close to what she was saying. It only had a vague relationship with such what she was saying, which was that the syllabi, as presented established a position of male dominance through its use of language in ways that could be chilling to women and minorities. And she really had nothing to say about the nature of scientific inquiry. She really had nothing to say about science as a kind of a construct. She was simply talking about how these syllabi promoted the study of science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. That's interesting. It's an interesting idea. It's an interesting lens. It's an interesting. It's an interesting notion that perhaps one of the reasons that there are that women and minorities are not as represented in those fields as might be expected from their representation in the population at large. If what's happening is that they're being dissuaded just by looking at the curriculum, I'm not sure if it actually holds up, just because I'm not sure high school students actually look at the curricula postings for the courses that they'll be required to study when they enroll in their particular fields via an institution of higher learning, higher education. So it's an interesting idea. I think the roots go back to earlier. I think women and minorities get discouraged in elementary school, and that sets them up for later failure when they're not prepared to deal with it on a larger scale. On a larger stage, at a more advanced level. I'm trying not to get run over, which is why I'm sort of speaking in short phrases, and I don't seem to be terribly coherent. Now, the coherence part is part of my natural state, but okay, I'm past cars, at least for the moment. So anyway, I read this article and I'm looking at it going, what the hell? And I realized that it wasn't actually an article, it was a hatchet job. There were some really interesting characteristics about it. First was the clickbait headline, which actually didn't reflect what the study was about. And there was a big piece in the middle, where Pullman, the author, laid out a definition of an educational model in a way that is largely at odds with what the actual model is. She was using a constructivist model, and how there were too many teachers who used the constructivist model, where they just turned the students loose to learn whatever they want, however they want, whenever they wanted, whatever, which left them terribly unprepared for the larger, wider world, which is pretty much the opposite of what constructivism is. Not exactly. There's certain tenets that the students, that people, construct their own knowledge. This is pretty much. You can't really argue with it. People do construct their own knowledge. There's a lot. I go back to Lev Vygotsky, because his models of cognitive scaffolding, of zone of proximal development, monk post, of some really important ideas that might help explain how people learn. Now, to be fair, to be clear, we don't know how people learn. Pavlov, Skinner, all of those people, they were trying to find out how people learn. They were trying to figure it out. How do people learn? There's a network theory that I think has a certain amount of leg to it that exists quite happily in conjunction with constructivist theory. It's the first time I've seen somebody bark back at the dog. But anyway, so there was this sort of snicker behind the hand at constructivism being held up as a ridiculous model, because the formulation of it that Pullman put forth was in fact laughable. It was laughable. The idea that Pullman actually put it out as a legitimate explanation of what constructivism is and how constructivism works was what made it laughable, not the model itself. So I wrote a minor dissertation on the post, explaining A, what constructivism actually was, B, how constructivism wasn't anything that this student, Parsons, was talking about, and that she wasn't actually criticizing science or STEM or the scientific method or anything else. But she was in fact criticizing the curriculum of a particular university, a particular college, an unnamed Midwestern college, which might well have been her own. I'm not sure North Dakota counts as Midwest. Perhaps it does. I think more of Kansas, Nebraska. Illinois, Missouri. It's a bias. So it was an interesting exercise in returning to a previous mental mode for me, thinking about how people perceive learning. The comment thread underneath it was laughable. At the same time, they were deriding the gullibility of higher education. They were actually demonstrating the gullibility of a certain class of website reader who are unable to actually recognized when they're being trolled. I guess troll is the wrong word, because they... Pullman wasn't actually trolling them. She was sort of feeding them a narrative that higher education is stupid, that the people who engage in scientific inquiry are, in fact, fairly dumb. Not just ignorant, dumb. And the people who jumped in afterwards to hold up the scientific method, to hold up science, to espouse the nature of scientific inquiry, failed at a very basic level to exercise any kind of critical thinking in analyzing the piece that they were so busily propping up with stupid arguments.
Good morning.
So it's been an interesting, I don't know, 12 hours or so. I did get some sleep in there. I spent some morning doing a little back office work. I wrote a review for Sean Harper's Matryoshka Blues. Short read, interesting read, $2.99, Sean, S-H-A-W-N, Harper, H-A-R-P-E-R, a bit on the not safe for work, drops a lot of F-bombs. The character is somebody you would expect to drop a lot of F-bombs. It's a very interesting noir. I said noir, I meant noir. Very dark. It reminded me a lot of Spillane without if Nick Hammer can be said to have any class, without Nick Hammer's class. But enjoyable. I buzzed through it, and I think I might have started the day before yesterday. I was done with it yesterday morning and looking for something else to read, but that's as much about the quality of the writing, the ability for Harper to pull me in and drag me along, as it is the fact that it's a relatively short read. It's about 125, 150 pages, something like that. Not that pages matter in ebooks, but as a metric. It's longer than a novella. It's probably on the short end of novel. I'm pretty sure it's over 50,000 words, but probably not much more. It was still fun. It was still a hoot. I enjoyed it a great deal. And so I wrote a review of it and put that up so that I've got more than one review pending on peer reviewed. I'm trying to think what I can put in for Friday, and I may have to do something radical, like give it up. Maybe do something. I think it was Jamie who suggested that I bring back Nathan Lowell Presents to talk about authors, and do an author 1 week and a book the next, or something along those lines. I don't know, we'll see. It's warm. I've got on a fleece shirt over my pullover, and it's a walking in the sun. It's hot. I'm working up a significant bloom. I'm hungry. I need breakfast. I didn't eat before. I did have some coffee, but I didn't eat yet. I haven't eaten yet. I didn't eat before I left. Pick your verb. It's in there somewhere, I know. Here I am. In the shade. Coming up to the back gate. More accurately, the garage door, because I'm not going to go through the back gate today. But it's time for me to say tomorrow's another day. And with any luck at all, I'll talk to you then.